Do you plan on going to a Christmas play this year? There always are many that you can choose from. You look in the paper and the religious section and you find that churches are always advertising Christmas pageants and Christmas plays, Christmas concerts. I doubt if you'll see anything new this year when you go, but it's possible. Sometimes we would see a red-nosed reindeer or leaping frogs or something else, but chances are if you go to any Christmas play, there are some things that will be standard fare. Number one, there will be somebody that's a Joseph. Somebody will be Mary. There will be a baby Jesus, either a real one or a doll. There will be a manger of some sort, crude or rather dignified. You'll have somebody dressed up as angels, and you'll have a few shepherds. And then, of course, you'll finally have those three wise men. Now, it just wouldn't be a Christmas play if you left out any of these component parts. But according to Scripture now, one of these that I mentioned is out of place. That is, it does not belong in the manger scene. It does not belong in the really beginning Christmas story. In Matthew 2, 1 through 11, I want to read this to you. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. He didn't like the idea of any more kings. And he says all Jerusalem was troubled with him. That's kind of strange. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men aside, inquired of them when they had seen the star. And then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Now you go and look for the child, and when you have found him, you come back and bring me word that I may too go and worship him." When they heard the king, they left. And lo, that same star appeared in the sky, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were exceedingly glad. And then when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. As you notice that when wise men came, they found a young child. And when they came and entered a house. They did not see a baby in a manger. They did not go to some cave behind an inn. They went to a house, a home, where people lived, where people dwelt. And when they came, they found themselves not a baby, but a young child. How young? Well, it doesn't say. Now, the word I guess I want to associate with this house is mystery. It's a mystery house. Where did it come from? How did Joseph and Mary get into this house? Did they rent a house? Were they visiting with some of their relatives? And did they just stay there a couple of years? The house to me is a mystery. Where was it? It was still in Bethlehem. We know that. Was there other people in the house besides Joseph and Mary and Jesus? We're not told that. It also symbolizes to me what I call a time gap in the Christmas story. A time gap. Now, we celebrate Christmas really from a lopsided viewpoint. We represent Christmas as really being what we see in a Christmas play, all the things that I mentioned to you. At the very end, we always throw in the wise men. We see it as a baby being born in a manger. Some of us say, well, it's Christmas is the birthday of Jesus. But really, folks, the wise men add another dimension to this story. In a real sense, they didn't see the birth of Jesus. What they saw was the coronation of Jesus, the crowning of Jesus. They didn't see a baby in a manger. They saw a king. And they came and they didn't worship a baby. They came and worshiped the child as being a king. Now, there was a little time gap between the day the shepherds saw Jesus in the manger and the time the wise men worshipped him as a king in the house. there was a time gap. How much time? I don't know. Was it 6 months? Was it a year? Was it 2 years? I'm not really sure how old Jesus was when the wise men finally arrived. And in a real sense, symbolically, we are living in what I call a time gap. We are represented by that house. We are in a similar situation as that house was. I'll explain this in a minute. We are standing between the time of His birth and the time of His being crowned King by mankind. We can look back at the time of His birth, and we can also look forward to the time of His coronation. But both events really are inspired and implied and reflected and revealed as going together. Not being separated, but being one event. One would automatically follow the other. This is how Scripture portrays the birth of Jesus Christ. The Christmas of Jesus Christ really is a two-part story. I don't believe we ought to separate what God has joined together. All we have so far is a baby born in a manger. What we have not yet seen is the adult child sitting on an actual real throne, crown, and ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have not yet seen that. So in a sense, we are living in the time gap between the two events, between the first act and the second act of the story of Christmas. And I believe the story of Christmas is a combination of part one and part two, the manger and the throne. We've only seen the manger. And so in a sense, as we live in the house, it's intermission time. It's gap time. With the shepherds, we can go back and visit Christ in the manger. And with the wise men, we can look forward and anticipate the crowning of Him as King of Kings. When you look at Christ as the shepherds did, you see a Savior. But when you look at Christ as the wise men saw them, you see a sovereign, king, and ruler. On one, there was no crown. On the other, there is a crown. Part one and part two. But you and I are in the gap. We really didn't see the manger, and we are yet to see the crowning, but we're kind of just stuck in the house. Many today wouldn't agree with this. They don't think Christmas comes in two parts. All they agree that He was born in a manger and that He is the Savior. But they don't think He's coming back. They don't think that's part of the Christmas story. They don't think He'll ever rule on this earth as King, the only King. When you and I today talk about the second coming of Christ, the first coming in the manger, but the Christmas story has a second coming of the Christ. First, born in a stable, and the second, sitting on the throne. They're both parts of the same story. And so when I today talk about the second coming, I'm talking about finishing the Christmas story. Wrapping it up, making it complete. And I think this is the way the story was originally presented in the Bible. In Isaiah 7:14, you have the first part prophesied. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel. Well, Isaiah says that's the first part. If you go to Luke, you find the second part being told Mary by the angel. Luke 1:30-33, and the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. That's the first part. That's the manger. Now notice in verse 32, the angel says, And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Mary was told both parts of the Christmas story. There will be a birth of a son to you, and after that, that boy is going to become the king of the world. She was given both parts of the Christmas story. In Micah 5:2, or Psalms 2:6 through 8, you have again both parts of the Christmas story. In verse 6, it says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." Verse 7, he gives us the first part. He gives us the second part, the king. In verse 6, he also talks about that in verse 8. But in verse 7, he gives us the first part, the manger part. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." When God the Son became a human being in this earth, that's when he was begotten. That's, of course, the manger scene. Verse 8, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And then back to 6, "And I have set you up as a king over that possession." You have both parts of the Christmas story. In Micah 5:2, again, you have both parts. "But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting." Again, Bethlehem, the first part, the manger, but later on, he shall come forth and be ruler. He shall be king. That's the second aspect of the Christmas story. Then you have Isaiah 9:6-7. "For unto us a child is born." Of course, that's the first part. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now we have the second part. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forevermore." So you have all these various scriptures that I have just read indicating that there is part A, the manger, part B, the coronation of Christ when he becomes the king. Now, what is missing today as we look at this Christmas story is the awareness that we are living in the gap. We are involved in these prophecies, but we're kind of caught in the intermission time. Christmas has really already come, the first part, but it's not over, and it won't be over until we have Jesus crowned King of Kings, ruling from Israel on the throne of David. Mankind has seen the baby, but they've not seen the king. See? We're kind of caught in the gap. He has appeared in a manger, but he has not yet appeared on an earthly throne. And so Christmas is a time when we look back and we also look forward and say, "Lord, when will the Christmas story be finished?" Every Christmas we celebrate a birthday, and every Christmas we look forward to celebrating the crowning of his head, his coronation. And to really grasp Christmas, we should not separate the crib from the crown. It's part of the same package of the Christmas story. And if you fulfill the first part, that is, the Advent prophecies of his coming in the manger, well, don't you think he'll fulfill the last part of the same prophecies? If he told us about being born as a baby, don't you think he was also accurate in telling us he'll also be crowned as the king? If you can believe he was once born of a virgin in a city called Bethlehem, can you not stretch your belief and your faith to the point that you will still see him come and literally reign on the earth as they literally saw him in a manger? That he'll be sitting up on the throne as he was placed in the swaddling clothes. Can you see both pictures as being a part of the Christmas story? And you can't have one without also looking forward to having the other. So when you talk about the second coming of Christ, you, in a sense, correspond to the first coming. First coming in the manger, the second coming in the sky, and then back to earth to rule. Prophecies concerning these two events are always put together. He'll come and be born a human being, though yet God, and also he'll one day be crowned king. Baby Jesus, King Jesus, one in the same picture. The Old Testament prophets saw Christ in the crib, and they also saw Christ on the throne. But none of the prophets saw Christ in the gap. None of them saw Christ in the intermission period. They didn't see anything between these two events. They always undoubtedly saw the two events as taking place. The baby born, the baby grow up, the baby becomes the king. They did not realize the gap. And you and I are living in the gap period. Now, Jesus is no longer in the crib, and Jesus is not yet sitting on the throne crowned as king, but he is today in the house. You say, what are you talking about? Do you not recall that the Bible says that those that accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior become the house or the home of Christ? The Bible says that he lives in us and we live in him, that the Holy Spirit indwells our body, and in the absence of the manger and in the absence of the throne, there is a place where he still lives, and that's in the house. That's in the house. And in the gap period in the Bible, that's where he was when the wise men found him. And when Jesus comes back and is crowned king, he will also find that he's been living in us as the house in the intermission time. We become the home of Christ, away from the manger and away from the throne that is yet to come. We are now his present dwelling place. He has been crowned by us, but we haven't seen him on a throne. We haven't seen his face. We haven't seen him crowned, but we have by faith crowned him King of Kings. So in a real sense, for each one of us in the house, he's the king. We have crowned him, but we have not seen him on the earth crown. But in the house, where Jesus was crowned in the house, he is today still crowned in the house. And you the wise men, I'm the wise man, and we give him gifts. But this is not still the thing that's coming, that the whole earth will be his gift. And he will rule literally on the earth on a throne. But right now, he gets his gifts from us. He is crowned by us. He is served by us. He is worshipped by us. Where does he do this? In the house. It's done in us. It's done in our heart. It's done in our spirit. But we're doing this in the gap. The world, in a real sense, could see Jesus born in the manger, and the world will see Jesus sitting on the throne, but you and I can't see Jesus sitting in each other's lives. We can't see Jesus sitting in each other's hearts. We can only say by faith, he's in mine. And I got to ask you this morning, is he in yours? You say, have you made Jesus king? He is king. He will be king. But will he be your king? And you can, as you can provide him a home, folks. You can provide him a house. See? It'll just be a temporary thing. But he'll live in you. And then you give him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and you give him the worship. And you call him king, and you treat him as a king, and you obey him as a king. And so really, he's already been crowned by us, but we're in the gap. It's a little bit different, you see, in the house than what you have in the manger and what you have on the throne. A little bit different in the house. And so we're the house, but the day is coming when Christ shall indwell this earth, set up a throne on this earth. And I guess we can go visit him, and mankind can go visit him on the throne. There will be a day when men come to worship him, as did the wise men, and bow down and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They'll admit that. But that hasn't happened yet. But you and I are doing that. So when you think about Christmas, you don't separate the crib from the crown. A lot of folks will go through the motions this year of celebrating Christmas, and all they'll think about is Jesus as a little baby, and that'll be about it. But folks, that's not it. You must think about the crown. You must think about making that baby who grew up to be your king and your Lord and your master. That's the crucial thing. You must have him living in you now. If you just think about Jesus in the manger, you're celebrating a lopsided Christmas. The message is not complete. The picture is not true. The baby that was born is yet to become king and the only king and the ruling king on this earth. He was born as a Savior. He will rule as the king. And in between those two time periods, there is the opportunity for you and I to provide him the house and the worship that he deserves. We can be the wise men who came to the house. You and I have the opportunity this Christmas to see part one and part two. A lot of folks never see part two, but he's coming to be the king of this earth. And then the Christmas story will be complete. Then the Christmas story will be finished. Right now, we've just had Act 1. We're in the house waiting for Act 2 to take place. And it's going to take place. It's coming. And I think sooner than a lot of people think. And when it does, the Christmas story will be finished. Until then, it's just half finished. And you and I are living in the gap.